Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 165. It's May 24, 2015. Today, pray for the following people and situations as they pray also for God's deliverance, and they pray for us in the West. This one comes from Ethiopia, from the International Christian Concern, ICC. Aman Kuni was crammed into a tight jail cell with barely enough room to sleep on the floor. But that was only the beginning of the terror that he would face for his faith in Christ. Just 5 days after being released from prison in Asala, Ethiopia, he was forced to kneel down with a pistol pressed between his teeth and was given the mission to kill two pastor friends, or else his children would die. I was commanded to follow the instruction of four covered armed persons who spoke in the Oromo language. I was also slapped 2 times and asked to kneel down. They put their pistol in my mouth and gave me instructions to kill Pastors Girma Hippo and Endezina, Kuni told International Christian Concern. Kuni was instructed to accomplish the mission in 3 months' time. If successful, he was promised an easier life abroad. But if he refused, the masked assailants vowed to murder his 3 children. His wife's Muslim family had already forcibly taken them away from him, and now he faced this terrifying threat. On April 25, an estimated 15 police officers surrounded a Christian worship service in Asala, about 100 miles south of Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa. The congregation of the Meseret Christos Church had just witnessed the baptisms of 40 new believers in Christ. We were gathered for sharing and encouraging each other with the Word of God, Kuni recounted. After we finished the service, police imprisoned us. Some of our friends ran away when they saw the way we were harshly handled, he added. Witnesses reported that the police harassed several worshippers and 4 new converts from Islam fled the scene. Police later arrested them also at a nearby bus station. The number of arrested Christians also reportedly included 3 church leaders. The men were held at a police station for 2 days until they appeared in court, where the judge ordered for the case to be investigated. Kuni and his friends were charged with holding illegal meetings in secret locations, and he remained unsure about how long he would stay in jail. The men insisted they had fulfilled all of the legal obligations to hold their meeting, but all Kuni could cling to was his faith in Christ. Our main crime was preaching the good news, Kuni said. During the investigation, Kuni said he and the others were taken to court 2 times with no tangible evidence found against them. They were moved to the Asala prison, where they were detained for 2 more weeks. The overall situation in the prison is very difficult. More than 168 inmates are stuffed into 1 small space. The Christians each have just enough space to lie on their sides at night. One of them has to sleep in the area that they use as a toilet, an anonymous source said. The men were released May 12 on $250 bail each. Kuni says his faith in Jesus helped him to endure this difficult persecution. We count ourselves as privileged to be imprisoned like Paul, he said. Kuni said the court warned their accusers to produce evidence or the charges would be dropped. During the investigation, officials reportedly confiscated documents about church membership. Church leaders fear the persecution will add immense burden on the vulnerable community, particularly on the new Muslim converts who are already facing pressure from their families to return to Islam. Kuni claims that 3 Muslim government officials were behind the arrests, Asala Mayor Yusuf, town security officer Shemseddin, in RC's own police commander, Adam. If the case is not approved with evidence and dropped by the court, it seems those officials were using the government institutions to attack Christianity, ICC's Ethiopia staffer said. The cost that Cooney has paid to follow Christ has been steep. With charges pending over his head, his family estranged, and his children threatened, he now prays for strength and protection for his family during this difficult time. For the past 5.5 years, I was struggling to care for these 3 kids, he said. Now I am just praying to God to provide them a safe place. If you will go to ICC and check the article out yourself, you'll be able to find interviews and other things that you can check out about this case, maybe even something you can do. I hope you'll pray for our Ethiopian brother. And then we go to Egypt. While Egypt's president has showed greater support for the Christian minority, the reality of daily persecution for Egyptian Christians remains. From church bombings, abductions, to discrimination and exclusion from high-level service jobs, persecution takes a variety of forms in Egypt and is driven by deeply ingrained prejudices that continue to divide the country. Egypt's Christians continue to face worrisome persecution, despite the words and actions of its president to show goodwill to the community. An expert in religious freedom testified to the U.S. Congress on Wednesday. Egypt has historically been more tolerant and relaxed towards Christians than its Middle Eastern neighbors, said Samuel Tedros, an Egyptian native and a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute's Center for Religious Freedom in Washington, D.C. Although COPS, that's the Egypt's ethnic Christian group, COPS have been bullied under previous regimes, the persecution there has recently become more personal, he warned. What worries me is not just that a government does not allow a church to be built. What really worries me is the fact that normal people, not Islamists, not terrorists, just normal Muslim guys, would form a mob and attack their neighbors. Not people they don't know, their very neighbors. Mob violence against neighbors is especially alarming in a country with a history of Christians and Muslims living together. Egypt's current constitution, adopted in January 2014, extended the rights of Christians and Jews to build places of worship, which had been strictly regulated before. Tedros testified before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on the Middle East and North Africa on May 20 on the threats to religious freedom in Egypt. The country has had a tumultuous past few years with multiple regime changes. In 2011, Egyptians successfully forced the resignation of President Hosni Mubarak, who had held power for 30 years. Elections brought in the Muslim Brotherhood Party, headed by President Mohamed Morsi, but his rule proved to be an especially tense time for the country's Christians. I hope you will follow up on the Egypt story in any number of ways, online or in prayer. And then in Pakistan, or actually in Thailand, when most people think of Thailand, they imagine an exotic, luxurious holiday destination. But little is known about the harsh reality of the lives of the Pakistani Christian asylum seekers who are being treated like criminals in Thailand's capital, Bangkok. Many of these Pakistani Christians moved to Thailand for a better life after experiencing harsh treatment in their homeland of Pakistan. But upon arrival, many of these individuals and families are arrested and locked up in Bangkok's immigration detention center, and left to survive in squalid conditions. 16-year-old Zaresh Gill is one of the 4,000 Pakistani Christians in Thailand. Her family fled Pakistan because they lived in constant fear for their lives. She shares her experiences of adjusting to her new life. She says, "I miss my friends. I miss them a lot, especially my best friends. They play, they laugh, they share their feelings. I actually miss that. I miss those moments. Here I have made friends, and they are so heart-touching friends. They care a lot. They remind me of my previous friends, but still I miss my friends, our families, our traditions, our giggling and mischiefs, and many other things. Speaking to Pakar News in Thailand, Munir Bashir, a Christian who left his homeland in Pakistan for a better life in Bangkok, shared, "The conditions were horrific, cramped, dark, and hot. He spent 7 months in the Immigration Detention Center, known as the IDC, with his wife and two children." So another place to pray for. Bangkok, Thailand, an unusual place of persecution of Pakistani Christians looking for a better life. And then, finally, ICC, mobs of Muslims again. International Christian Concern has learned that a Muslim mob in Dedir, again, Ethiopia, has attacked a Christian man, forced him out of his home on the threat of death. Local Muslims want to appropriate his land so that they can build a mosque. Their actions are despite recent court rulings that guaranteed his property rights. Fikere Mengistu's family has owned their land for more than 90 years, but a mob of more than 20 Muslims in Kufanzik village remain intent on forcibly building a mosque on the Mengistu farm in defiance of the law. Muslims make up the religious majority in the area. They have destroyed his fence, looted his possessions. In addition, the local police are complicit in these attempts to steal his land. Their first plan was to kill my husband, Mengistu's wife said. Now he has escaped from the area. We are fasting and praying for God to rescue us from this forceful action, she added. ICC provided legal assistance to Fikere Mengistu to retain his land when Muslims previously attempted to steal it in late 2014. He won the legal battle, but now they've returned and are attempting to take it by force. The authorities are letting it happen. In the past, he's faced threats from local police officers. He's been forced to pay bribes. He's been imprisoned simply because he is a Christian. The harassment started when Mengistu built a house for his 93-year-old mother 2 years ago. Fearing that the village's 38 Christians would use the house to gather for prayer, dozens of Muslims began to occupy his land and would remain for weeks at a time shouting Allahu Akbar, meaning God is great or God is greater. They even destroyed his elderly mother's home as they attempted to drive the Mengistu family off their land and use it to build a mosque. The Muslims claimed Mengistu's land belonged to the government. However, courts at the state level and the district level both upheld Mengistu's land title in November 2014 and April of this year. Despite the court decisions, Dedir Police Commander Abadir Yuya claimed they were not valid and needed to be reviewed. Since then, the mob has continued harassing the Mengistu family. We did our best to try to defend our faith based on the law of the country and with all of our resources, including the ICC budget, to pay for our legal expenses. Muslims are out of the control of the government and the law. What can we do? The Muslim rioters have resumed construction of a mosque on the Mengistu property and have designated the structure as a voting precinct, having placed a ballot box there for the upcoming national election Sunday, today in America, May 24th. ICC's Ethiopia staffer says the mob has employed this strategy in an attempt to legally justify continued construction. They're expanding their new mosque. They're building fences, Mengistu's wife said fearfully. She remains with her five children, aged mother-in-law, and 30 other Christians praying on the property. Please help me protect my land and secure my family and the fellow Christians, she continued. The main culprits perpetuating or perpetuating the illegal construction include Zone Police Representative Abdi, Militia Leader Hedir Abdi, District Administrator Tajur Shami, who ordered the militia to protect the project. ICC is working with the Ethiopian Lawyers Association to advocate for the Mengistu family's property rights. And then there are people you can contact here. I will not go into that further. You can go to ICC and look up this article yourself. And we thank God for the International Christian Concern and Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs and other organizations and people throughout the world who care about the persecuted Christian. I know that you do too, or you would not be listening all this time. I thank you, and I ask you, and God asks you, to remember the prisoners as they cry out to God, and we'll cry out with them, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God."